the good times roll. Welcome to All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, presented by Miracle Ear. On this podcast, you'll hear from past and present Cedar Rapids baseball influencers, including players, managers, and executives.
Jake, thanks for joining us. There's one thing that I wanted to point out first. As you're aware, we've been hosting the D3 World Series for a few years. Your team that you played for, St. Thomas, was here a couple of years ago. And I just want to make sure that folks that are listening in on this know they might not, that you were on the D3 World Series All-Tournament team for 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We lost my sophomore and junior year. We lost the national championship.
Man.
And then we broke through my senior year, which was, a lot of the same guys, a lot of the same position players. We had some different pitchers.
Which teams did you play in the finals there? I'm sure you remember that.
Marietta is who we ended up beating.
Okay.
But, there are some good teams in there, and I see there's some of the same ones still, like Cortland. SUNY Cortland's still in there, and Southern Maine's usually close, and Wartburg's usually lurking. They're pretty good.
It's crazy, how those teams, you look at it, I guess every sport has those sort of those pieces, those dynasties that just sort of are created. And you're absolutely right. I mean, St. Thomas made the jump to D1. I mean, after that time they were here a couple of years ago, and I got to be honest, I haven't checked how they did in that first couple of years of competing at the D1 level, but I know that takes years of transition, but good for them. I mean, to be able to make that move. So,
yeah, it was kind of forced on them. I hate to say it. The MIAC voted them out, and it wasn't really up to them, but they were fortunate enough to find the Summit League, and, they took their lumps. They got beat. I think they were maybe 10 to 15 games under 500, which isn't unexpected, I guess, but I know they're the only other Division I baseball team in Minnesota now. So, recruiting wise, should be pretty good. I know the University of Minnesota obviously has kind of had their pick, but I know their recruiting class, and I played with Chris Olin, who's the head coach over there. I know he does a great job, and he's been really good at the university. So it'll probably take a couple years, but they'll I'm sure they'll be. I don't know if they'll be in the top necessarily 10 of the country by anything, but they'll definitely be competitive. And I know Chris does it the right way for sure.
Oh, absolutely. We've had players come down here that the Twins have recruited out of Minnesota on a fairly regular basis. And, there's good players up there that I think they'll be able, like you said, get their hands on now that they're that second D1. So
for sure.
Well, you were with us for 4 years back there in 13 through 16. We had a lot of good times, but I always want to start at the beginning because, like you, I'm a family guy as well. So Lauren, Jake, and Andrew are much older than they were the last time I saw them. But what are they into now? What's their sports lives like?
So Lauren is an eighth grader, or will be. We start just a day after Labor Day here. So she's an eighth grader, and she's playing fast pitch. So we did the 14 and under fast pitch this summer. And then she likes basketball. So we try to do that in the winter a little bit. And she plays soccer for her school team. So she's doing really well. She's come a long ways. She's an infield. She can play all the positions, which is really good. She can catch a little bit. She's probably best suited for the infield, but I think softball will end up probably being her favorite as moving forward here. But she's 14 or will be 14 in December, but it's like she's going on 20. So that happened really fast. Jake's an 11-year-old, and we actually won the 11-year-old Little League State Championship here.
Wow.
Our team out of Shoreview. So that was pretty exciting. And
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. We got a pretty good group of 11-year-olds that have been around now for about 3 or 4 years. So we kind of kept the core group together, and it's really fun watching them develop now. 11-year-old is starting to look more and more like baseball, so you can start to do some fun things and strategically put guys kind of where they should be and give them opportunities, which is exciting. So
Well, yeah, and then you know, you get a couple of years, and then all of a sudden, those boys are going to shoot up, and then they'll change positions because that little infielder might become a first baseman when he grows 7 inches in one summer.
That's 100% correct. So we had 11 boys on our team, and every one of them pitched or had to pitch, even if they didn't want to. Coach Jake forced them to. So, but then they all got experience in the infield, outfield, and then we had as many as 5 kids catching. So it's, because that's exactly right, Scott, just what you said. It's they get to 18, they're going to be completely different than what they are at 11. So you want them to all be exposed and to have some experience. And we found a couple of kids that actually kind of like pitching that were maybe afraid to do it and had some success. So
And that's what sports really are about. I mean, you know, it's like it goes into deeper meanings of, you know, having value and doing all kinds of pieces like that. So that's awesome that you do that.
Oh, for sure. And it's been a ton of fun. And like I said, those boys are, Lauren's at about the age now where she's kind of high school ball. So I'm coaching her in fall ball, which is fun again, but they're going to all move on to high school. And she played a little high school last year. There's a rule here in Minnesota that you can actually play if you're in middle school and you can play for your high school team in the district. So she was fortunate enough to make the ninth grade team. And some of the girls I had in the summer made it as well. So there's about 4 or 5 of them that played up, which was really good because got baptism by fire really quick and realized there's a lot of things we got to get better at.
So now, are you coaching for her then too, as well as Jake's team?
Yeah. So just in the fall with her. So the high school coach took that 14-year-old team this summer, which was great because I can focus on Jake and Andy. Andy's 8 now, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So he'll do first year of kid pitch, which is always interesting at that age. So
absolutely. I was going to ask, like, so when you get down to Andrew, you go like, so he's attended a million games and watched brother and sister play. Then, you know, as the rule is, or was in my family anyway, the third or fourth one start to decide whether or not they want to do that. I mean, basically.
Yeah. Oh, that's spot on. He was, I'd say, a little tentative at first, but we had a lot of fun this summer and he's starting to get into it. He wanted to play fall ball, which is good.
Yeah.
So that starts this weekend. So he'll play a little bit of that. And yeah, he's just kind of finding out his, you know, what he likes to do. And, you know, his sister plays basketball, his brother plays hockey. And this is the last year he can do both. And he's got to pick one because there's only Rachel and myself. So we aren't dividing and conquering all over the metro area.
Right. You got to hire a third person or an Uber to take someone else somewhere in a different direction. So,
yeah, exactly right. It's getting to that point.
Hey, speaking of with everybody getting older and stuff now, I mean, how are the wiffle ball games when the Maurer family reunion gets together? Is that a thing? I mean, I figure it's got to be competitive. There's got to be a game that the Maurer family plays when you get together of some sort.
There's a lot. Yeah. So my brother Billy has 4 kids and they all fall. My kids and Billy's kids all are about a year apart. So there's 7 total. And then Joe has 3 and his oldest are the same age as Andy. So there's quite a few of them that are all kind of close to that same age, but you know, it's more, you know, wiffle ball games kind of around Easter time, that sort of thing. And, you know, with all the weirdness that we've had in the past couple of years, it'll be fun to get everybody together in the big group, you know, with everybody kind of off and doing activities and all sorts of things. But yeah, wiffle ball is always a big one. And then my dad would flood a little rink. We're not, I guess our kids are hockey players, but Bill, Joe and myself weren't. But we'll go skate back there with those guys and those kids. And they think it's pretty funny because they're better than all of us. So they buzz around.
I'm not getting up on a pair of skates. Yeah. That's, that's not happening. No, that's some of the things I wanted to bring up when we were talking about ejections recently around the office here. I remember your subtle style of argument. That's the way I always put it anyway. I was like, Jake's coming out with his hands in his back pocket. you know, managers have to fight for their people. And I know we've seen a couple of things, but that blocking the plate call made me have PTSD back to 2015 at our game up in West Michigan.
Oh, I know.
I was like, when I saw that, I was like, I thought immediately of our game, and I was like, I wonder what Jake did up there, because I wasn't at that game. But
yeah, oh, it was such it was a tough point of the game, and my whole argument was is that the ball beat the runner by 20-30 feet, and obviously the catcher has a right to move and field the ball when it's in the air, so he's moving the ball to field the ball, and he gave him, you know, we worked quite a bit on that, given the runner at least part of the plate to slide at, which the rule dictates that you need to do. And
yep,
you know, obviously at that point of the game, there's a lot of video cameras there because that was a big game.
And, oh yeah. And,
you know, we had a pretty clear view of it. It's just one of those things that's, you know, the young umpires and you can get caught up in the, you know, sometimes the speed of the game is moving pretty fast for these guys. And I don't know why we just decided to make an impactful call at that time, you know, on kind of a play that shouldn't have been impactful. It wasn't necessarily a collision situation. The runner didn't have to deviate from his path. None of that had to happen.
Nope.
And that was my argument, obviously. And, you know, you can kind of tell it, you know, it probably shouldn't have, but it took a lot of air out of our sails for sure. And kind of seen how the rest of the game unfolded, but it was unfortunate, obviously, and you know, that team ended up, majority of that team, we ended up winning in AA, which was pretty exciting, but it sure would have been nice to get that one, because I think that would have really, we would have really, really been in control of that series.
Oh, yeah, yeah, come back. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, back in those days, we were looking at, you know, longer series. Is now our playoffs are two sets of three, and it's quick. I mean, you know, you don't have that five-game series or those kind of pieces that you're, you know, with. You got to win the first one. You got to set the tone. You got to do those kind of situations. And I just remembered, and I saw that ejection with Rocco this year, and I was like, man, that's just, I hadn't thought about 2015 in a long time, because I don't want to hold my breath anymore, Jake. You know, I've been around here a long time, and it's like, I'd love to win a ring, but it's been 28 years at this point. So we keep working on it, and I get it. It's fun to watch that, but I do remember the first time I saw you get ejected from a game, and the play that one was, and I can't even think about it without completely laughing all the time. And it may not have been your first ejection, but I remember when you went to the ground at second base to show how this guy had slid. And as soon as you started kneeling down, the umpire immediately throws you out because you can't go to the ground. And I just was like, this is going to be entertaining. Let Jake go, because he has never gone this far.
Well, that's, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Scott. There's, you know, sometimes, and usually when I would get at least out there or get excited is when I pretty much knew I was right. And sometimes, you know, you have different conversations with umpires, and sometimes they know you're right. And then there's some guys that just won't admit it. And most of the guys would just say, you know what, I didn't have a really good view at it. Maybe it moved a little fast. I got blocked out. Well, that's, I mean, we're all going to make mistakes, and it's going to happen. And I understand it's got to be safer out. You got to make a call whether you really saw it or not. But
yeah,
guys that I didn't have a problem with were guys that just kind of told me that, you know, and so a lot of those arguments were just, all right, I'm just got to stand out here a little bit and fight for my guys. You know, I'm not going to make a mockery, but if, you know, I knew the guy was basically, I wouldn't say lying to me, that's a strong word, but I knew he didn't have a very good angle at it, and he'd still make a call and stand by it. Well, then I didn't really see eye to eye to those guys. You know, I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And if the umpire, you're not infallible by any stretch of the matter, and you got a hard job to do. Most of the guys, and it's a lot of those guys that you've seen that were there with us, you know, that are in the big leagues now, are guys that were really good communicators, and that would say, you know what, I didn't have a view at it, had a tough look at it. Yeah, you know, well, we can all live with that and move on. And I think that's the biggest thing. And that, you know, probably the piece of advice to give any of the young umpires is just communicate. You didn't see it, you didn't see it. I mean, if you have a coach that's just going to want to be over the top because you didn't see it, well, I mean, you communicated what you saw and you did your best. That's all you really can do.
Absolutely. And you know, and most of them, I mean, as you pointed out, they're trying to move up just like the guys on the field. I mean, they're you know, they're working their way up. They did their umpire school. They got assigned here. They're, you know, some of them spend 2-3 years in some of these lower leagues to get it right, but then, you know, they'll figure it out. And I just remember at that point in the game, hardly anybody had slid into second, and there was only one slide path, and it was like you were laying in it. And so I was just,
yeah,
like, yep. And,
well,
I,
and so it's, sometimes it's
they're not going to overturn it.
Calls impact.
We know that. Yeah. Correct. But you have to, like you had said, you got to fight for the team once in a while. And I, you know, because you'll see managers sometimes not come out of the dugout. And I was like, well, I guess they're going to let that one go. And,
right.
You know, on visiting teams. And I'm like, you know, man, I think that was a tough call. I think he might be right if he comes out and pushes that. So, yeah. But
when there's sometimes too, it's, and you'll see it, obviously been around a long time with the long season, and it's just, it can get mundane sometimes, and you just sometimes need a spark, you know, to tell the boys. And, you know, there'd be times I would, you know, Tommy Watkins, he said, Tommy was the guy that always wears his hitting jacket, not wear his jersey. And,
yep.
You know, you'd go to the game before and say, hey, Tommy, you just might want to put your jersey on underneath. Cause the first kind of controversial call, I'm probably going to get the heave ho just to get us going.
So, yeah.
So you can telegraph sometimes too, and sometimes, you know, the umpires get it. They know it, and a majority of them know it's not personal, and it's not, you know, you don't necessarily try to use a vulgar language or make it, you know, obscene by any stretch of the matter, because we're all trying to get to the same place, really.
Yep. Nope. And you're 100% right. And you've been in our place, you know, those 4 years, and it's like, it's very family friendly environment here at the major, I mean, this minor league level, and you can hear every word being said down there on the field. And that's why we always appreciate arguments that, you know, don't go in wrong directions. I mean, where
yeah,
we can hear, sure. You know, it's like, sometimes when everybody gets real quiet, it's like, oh, that's not what we wanted to hear, but
not yeah. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Cedar Rapids Colonel.
Hearing is important to living life to the fullest. That's why inside every Miracle Ear store, you'll find better bedtime stories. You'll find a better life is in store at Miracle Ear when you experience the exclusive Miracle Ear Advantage. It starts with our free hearing assessment, plus innovative products that fit your needs and budget, with free service and adjustments for life.
Your local Miracle Ear team is proud to support your Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
You know, while we're on the Cedar Rapids memories that I had, what are some of your other favorites? You had 4 years here. I mean, that's we were in the playoffs every year. That was fun. So yeah,
we had a lot of good clubs. At 13 club was probably one of the most talented clubs from top to bottom. You know, there were several big league guys and impactful big league guys that came off of that roster. And
yep.
And obviously I just remember coming over, and it was a big transition, obviously, for the Colonels, you know, we were with the Angels forever, and then us that were up in Beloit and in Quad Cities previous to that, and just the relationship, you know, you all in the front office were more than welcoming, and obviously the facilities were all first class, and it was just a really, really good situation for the Twins to be in, you know, and to create that partnership and continuing forward. Obviously it's the fans there are outstanding. They know baseball. Especially ones that would come in April, and you're like, all right, these are the fans that are really the hardcore baseball fans. Cause you see the familiar faces, whether it's nice out or not.
Oh, absolutely.
They were there and they backed the guys, and obviously the host families. And my guess is there's still a lot of the same host families, that have been there are still there that would really, really, help these young men along their way. And, you know, for most of them, it was their first time away from home for a lot of them.
And Jake, on that point, that's one of the things that the Twins and I went through this last year when they were talking about minor league, you know, taking over the payment of it. And we talked about it, and our host families were very concerned that program was going to go away and everybody was going to move into apartments and do things like that. And we have one player who's married with a small child that is living in an apartment, but everybody else wanted to be in the host families. And they talk about how much that program means to them and how much they heard about it down in spring training. And I've never been there. So I guess I didn't realize how much this program, you know, they're talking about it. Like, when you get to CR, here's a family you want to live with. And, you know, those families have been with us for 20 years. I mean, a lot of them, man, they were really sad if it was going to go away. Yeah.
For sure. And that's, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was always, an interesting concern, especially now with Major League Baseball and the influence they have in the minor leagues, as far as really taking it over to the degree that they have. There's so many neat cities, and Cedar Rapids is right at the top of them, that are just great baseball cities and just great baseball towns, not only with the history and the teams that have been there and gone through, but the fabric of the community. There's a ton of great people there. They support the kids. They look out for the kids, which is huge. And it's really, it's a two-way street too, you know, and the kids have to respect that and understand that. And it was well known, you know, the time that I was there, obviously with the Twins, that the boys would all talk and be like, this is the host family I was with and they're great. And these folks are great, but I mean, you're not going to strike out with any of the host families that are part of it. And it was such an impactful, not only impactful on the team, but on the whole organization, just the day-to-day and, you know, going through the rigmarole. And I know a lot of the boys that I'll even talk to up here still stay in touch with a lot of the host families.
Absolutely. Yep. When you were going through there, you didn't see a program like that in your minor leagues. Did you, I mean, at any point in time, did you have a team that had a host family program like ours?
We did in Elizabethan.
Okay.
And it was a little bit, but it wasn't to the extent, as far as the Colonels, you know, there was just a handful of kids in Elizabethan that did, and, you know, obviously with the Appalachian League being closed down and all of that, but, that was always, you know, and especially moving into high A, and some of the boys are a little bit older than they've been too. But obviously I'm really glad to hear that, you know, probably 90% of the kids are still being involved with the host families and are still being recognized and just a part of the whole experience.
I think it's, and I talk with host families about this all the time. And I know we had you at the host family outings, every year you would come up and they really appreciate when the manager thanks them for being a part of that. And, you know, no one had to invite you guys. I mean, the managers, you all showed up and you always think that. I think the, you know, having some bilingual families has been really helpful for us. It really helps transition those guys who are coming up. And, you know, when they leave here, like you had said, they, when they go to AA, Wichita has a terrific program. There's an apartment building just beyond the field that they get to live in. And so it's almost like they're living at the field and being a part of that. I really think, you know, from the Twins perspective, we did a lot of things that to try to keep things moving in the right direction. Their stories are out there about the conditions that folks had to live in. And when I read that, I just don't understand because we've never been there in my right. You know, 17 or 18 years in baseball at this point in time. You know, we've always had this strong host family program, and I feel bad for the kids who don't have the experience that our players did coming through here. So.
And that's a lot of the boys that, you know, come from other organizations, especially would mention that. You know, some of the conditions in some of the other cities that other teams had affiliates in, and they pretty much would. I mean, you fend for your own. If you're a young 18-year-old kid, especially if you're a Latin American kid who maybe doesn't have as comfortable of a grasp of the language, I mean, you're getting thrown to the wolves. And now you're expected to go perform and play. You're just trying to survive, you know, and get by. And,
yep.
And so there's so many different dynamics that the host family and that, yeah, obviously Cedar Rapids have done to make the boys, you know, off the field, feel comfortable, feel a part of the community right away. And now really all your concern is just worrying about baseball. I mean, and that's, it just takes so much more off their plate where they're really allowed to develop and to really kind of be all they can be because those other off field concerns aren't really there.
Yeah. And when you're speaking about development, this game, even since you've just been out of it, you know, even if it's just been 5 years, I mean, at 17, you were still at Chattanooga. And then, you know, so it's just been 5 years since you're out of that. But it's become a lot more statistical. How much of that are you seeing at, you know, Lauren's level? And, you know, are you using at that? Are there statistic pieces that you've been able to roll down to that level? And is that what's happening? I'm lost on travel ball because my kids are all grown, but it's like, yeah.
Oh, sure. Oh, it definitely is 100%. And, you know, it was probably more so even at the AA level, my last year there in Chattanooga we were starting to kind of get the more and more information, not necessarily the beginning of the statistical age. I think we would only want to expose those higher level kids to it just because you can kind of get brain locked by looking at so much of it, but it's in travel ball. I mean, we had this thing called Game Changer, which I'm sure everybody knows about. I just learned about this year that our 11-year-olds, I mean, we, they have spray charts on 11-year-olds, which is absolutely insane.
Wow.
To me. Yeah. The more and more, and to me, it's, there's a value there and having all the stats and that's great. It shows you trends and everything. But, you know, when you kind of look at, you know, the teams that meld both, you know, they have a lot of statistical folks, but they still have a lot of baseball folks that they really rely on. And I don't think that there's any question that, you know, especially when you get down to the ALCS, NLCS, you see that it's teams that are kind of using both. They haven't really gone right or left. They've kind of stayed the middle of the path where they meld both. And, you know, in a game where you're going to fail as much as you are, there's still a lot of gut check calls that you're going to have to make, and it may buck whatever the computer says, or you may go with whatever the computer says too, but there really isn't, I don't think, another experience, I still think, overrules all of it. And it's, you see a lot of things and you know how to react. And I mean, we're still people, right? People.
Oh, absolutely.
There's emotions involved, and baseball's still an emotional game, and how you're going to react. There isn't a computer program that's going to tell you how you're going to react emotionally. At least I haven't seen it yet.
Nope. And I always go back to, I never played at any level like you did, or anybody in your family did. And it's but I mean, back in the day, our statistics were, I'd pick up a rock and a stick and I'd hit the ball. And, you know, that was our training for, you know, yeah, my little league days, when I would have my, you know, fire station number 3 shirt on or whatever. Sure. I mean, so different, you know, back in those days. And I just think about kids nowadays, and I watch our team down here, you know, and they come off and they're frustrated. And as you said, you got to have a very short-term memory loss on this program, because you can't think about your last at bat. You can't think about that error you just made on the field. I mean, it's only about what's happening right now. And that's the only stat that matters. I mean, is what's happening in the box right now or on the field right now. And, you know, that's the problem, is, you know, watching these kids down here at even at 22 and 23 years old, and just knowing the frustration or the stress that they're under, you know, because this is their job. This is where they're at. And,
yeah.
And there's an awful lot of people, you know, showing them something different every day on a stat or a rover comes in, you know, and that's, yep, like, I just think about how complex the game has gotten compared to where it, you know, was 15, 20 years ago. So, yeah.
Oh, 100%. And it's, you're, baseball players are gluttons for punishment. You know, you're successful 30% of the time and they make statues of you. It's, yep, it's unbelievable, you know, but I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's once you, and the boys are getting closer, moving through, is once you can understand that you're going to fail and it's going to happen, but it's not going to consume you and it doesn't become you, if that makes sense. You don't get swallowed up by it.
And, yep,
you know, it's, and I, even the 11-year-old boys, the team that I had, I said, boys, you're just going to have to understand you're going to suck sometimes. You're just going to suck. You just got to embrace the suck. And that's how it goes.
Yeah.
You tell 11-year-old that, you know, they look at you like I'm saying a bad word. I'm like, no, I'm not saying a bad word. You got to listen, nope, to what I'm saying. But it's just how it works. And
yeah,
it's, you're going to go up and you're going to get, you know, the guy's going to get the best of you one time. But if you continue to worry about that and that consumes you, you're going to have a really hard time, because it's just not always going to work out. And that's just how the game's designed. And that's why it's designed that way. And that's what, when I giggle, you know, and obviously with baseball, everybody's like, oh, it takes so long and so on and so forth. But a lot of those folks don't understand what's happening in and around it, and the things that go into it, and the things that go behind it, and how much is involved. And it's, you know, it's just not going to work out a lot of the times. But if you're, like you said, you have that short memory and you're able to adapt and adjust quickly and move on to the next one, and more importantly, be prepared for the next one. And guess what? That might not work out either. But if, yep, you keep preparing yourself, and you're going to end up, when you look at the whole body of work and you control what you can control, more times than not, it's going to end up working out where you're going to feel pretty comfortable, or at least you should. You did everything you could.
Absolutely. And I think about, like you're speaking, and obviously you're in a completely different role in the car business now, but that transitions to everyday life. Like every day in life, I don't win. I mean, mm-hmm, there are days that I get up and I'm like, I wish I would have went back to bed 2 hours ago, because I want to start over. I mean, to be, yeah, able to do that. And, you know, you just have that, but it's like at the end of a week, I feel pretty good about what I got done. I mean, it's like at the, absolutely, end of the month or those kind of things. And you have to be able to transition kids to look at that. I think sometimes, you know, they're just set on having, you know, a reward right away all the time. And that's unfortunate, because that just, you know, doesn't happen. Like you said, it just, you have to get used to having a tough day now and then. So.
Absolutely. And it's your developing people, you know, and I mean, and that's what it is. It's, you're going to need people, whether you're in the baseball business, you're a baseball player, you're in the car business, whatever it is. It's, you need people to make it all work. And once you have the understanding that people aren't going to be perfect, you don't expect them to be perfect.
Yep.
And they don't expect themselves to be perfect. Now we're going to be able to grow. Now we're going to be able to continue on the path that we all want to continue on. And you're exactly right. That's the beautiful thing with baseball, is it teaches you so much about life. It's not always going to work out. Nobody ends a year undefeated. I mean, that's never happened. And it's never going to happen. And once you understand that, and you're able to admit, you know, it didn't work out, but I learned from it. I'm going to try this next time. And now I have a plan, and now I can work my plan and move on and move forward. So
absolutely.
It teaches you so much.
Well, Jake, just a couple more questions. I don't want to take up your whole day here, but we had a couple come in from some of the fans, and one of them is, any chance we'll see future Mowers in other baseball fields, or in your world, softball fields as well? Is Lauren Lovett enough to, you know, UM has a terrific softball team.
Yeah, they're doing well. And Iowa isn't so bad either. They're pretty good.
That's
too.
True.
There's actually a young man that went to Mountain View is going to be down there. Blake Guerin. He's going to be a pretty good player. He's a big guy. He's going to play first base. He's going to be a Hawkeye this year. So
good. Someone to watch.
Yeah. Keep an eye out for him. They're, you know, the kids all really like it. I would say they're taking steps to it. One thing Rachel and I try to do is, you know, we try to get them exposed to as many things as we can, and then just kind of try to let them figure it out. And obviously there's probably unfair expectations put on some of them up here, especially in the metro area. But I mean, then that's okay. That's part of the deal too. It's not bad. It's just, if, you know, they truly want to do it and it's what they truly want to do, we'll back them. But you know, it's one of those, it's like my golf game, Scott. I want to be good at it, but I don't want to work at it. You know
right.
what I mean?
Well, so
it's not going to work out for them if that's the way they want to go at it. So
yeah,
it's worth 100%. Having is you got to work for it. So,
hey, none of us have enough time to work on that game, Jake. We don't for sure. Hey, last one. You ever see yourself as the kids get older, getting back into the game in a different capacity? Or is there somewhere that, you know, the professional game calls you back mid at all?
Yeah. And that's a great question. I think obviously, you know, I've left because of the kids, you know, for family wise.
For sure. 100% the right reason. Yeah.
I miss, I miss the competition. I miss, you know, the people like you guys, obviously, and in some of the other cities, and the camaraderie that going through a season together, that I miss a lot of that. And, you know, you don't miss obviously a lot of the travel and things like that, but it's hard to say, you know, I guess I would say never. It's, you know, baseball's obviously in our blood, and it's what we, you know, my family's really grown up on and been a part of and still tied to, you know, granted it's at a way different level, but I'll still, you know, try to sneak down. And obviously Tommy Watkins being the third base coach, and kids like Nicky Gordon and Polanco and all those guys that have come through and got relationships with that you're continually to see and cheer for and be a part of. But, you know, I guess I would never really be opposed to it if it made sense, you know, family wise. And you know, the car industry has been a completely, it's not that different as far as a people perspective, but the day-to-day is way different, and then that's been fun too. So
absolutely.
I guess I would never fully close that door by any stretch of the matter, but you know, I'm having a lot of fun being the you know, 11-8-14 year old coach right now, that's for sure.
That's fun. I gotta see that sometime. I'll tell you what, one of these times when I get up there to visit my granddaughter outside the cities, I'm gonna have to do it in the summertime and taking a Jake Mauer coached team over there.
So wait, you're a grandpa? I didn't know that.
Yeah, 2 years.
Congratulations.
Yep. So it'll be, yep. And so when I get up there to Norwood, Young America, that's where they live outside.
The yeah. City.
That's a long ways from
me. Very cool.
I'll get over there sometime. Yep. They, but well, I appreciate you being on, Jake, and with us today. I'm sure, you know, fans got to hear a lot of things they didn't know about. And, you know, 5 years removed, everybody's been wondering what happened to Jake. So we're appreciative of you jumping on this call with us. So, and.
Oh, no problem, Scott. Yeah, it's been great catching up. And you know, we've been following, obviously. You know, I know Brian's doing a great job down there and is really kind of found his style. And you know, he's a good baseball man, obviously. You guys all know that.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So yeah, we've been following and watching the team. And you know, we're pulling. Obviously, there's some luck involved, but, you know, that'd be nice to get that ring this year. That would be outstanding.
Yeah. Well, you know that how excited we were when Hank Conger came on as first base coach this year, too, because he was here with the Angels back in the day. So, 2008, I think, is when
that's Hank right.
was here. And so got an opportunity when I was up there this year to visit with Tommy. We couldn't get Hank out of the catcher training that he was trying to instill someone else, but spent some time with Tommy and, you know, had a good visit. And like you said, catching up with the guys up there, I miss Twins Fest. I miss those things where we get a chance to opportunity to, you know, see the players who came out of here and made it. And it's fun to watch them here. And what people need to understand is you never know on that field who's going to make it, who's not.
Right.
But you should come see every player. I mean, you know, and get to know them and, you know, and then root for them. And as you know, there's so many guys who have moved on.
Well, there's a lot that surface.
Yeah. But right. You know, I'm still rooting for them on other teams. I the way I look at it is every year, a Colonel wins a ring almost every year in the World Series. It's just a matter of
which
team they're on. So
exactly. So, exactly right.
So, well, I appreciate it. Thanks, Jake.
You have you a got great it, day. Pat. Nice chatting with you. Take care.
You too.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, that the good times roll.
This has been another episode of All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. This podcast was created by the Cedar Rapids Colonels and edited by Metro Studios. Logo created by Brandon Vacco and the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Thank you for listening.
Good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.